This is PhotoBizX episode number 248, and today we're talking copywriting and how you can attract your perfect clients by hiring a copywriter, and if you can't afford that, how to create the best copy yourself. Our guest is Emma Wiley, and that interview is coming to you in just a sec.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the PhotoBiz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here from Impact Images, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. Today's interview, if you do recognize the name Emma Wiley, it's because she is the copywriter behind the website of Nadia Melli, who you may remember from a recent interview. Nadia's business has literally taken off since going through a rebrand, and a big part of that rebrand was the copy and the copywriting, which is done by Emma. So we'll get into that in just a minute. Before we get into the interview, you may know if you've been following along that I've been in India for the last couple of weeks. I can't believe I've been back for not even a week yet. It seems like so long ago already. I'm already noticing the difference in my shooting, and I've never experienced this before after being away on a photography trip. And I've done a few in the past. And the reason I bring this up is because there was a post inside the members' Facebook group from a member who is struggling with motivation. Not so much motivation for their business, but motivation to shoot. You know, my advice was go on a trip. And I actually put that advice up before I'd gone back and done my first shoot since returning from the trip to India. And that's when I realized, wow, I can't believe the difference this two-week trip has made to my shooting. I went into the family session in the same area that I normally shoot in, down at Terrigal Haven. That's my usual outdoor spot for photographing families and kids and engagement shoots. And, you know, I've got my, I guess, little routine that I go through and the spots that I use. And everything was just different this time. I've actually worked with this family before. I photographed wedding photos for them. I photographed their kids plenty of times. I actually was going into the shoot thinking, okay, let's just get these shots. You know, I've got an hour. I'll go through the same things that I usually go through, and I'll get the shots that I need to get. But I found as soon as we walked out onto the rocks, I was just seeing things differently. I was framing up my shots differently. I was using the parents as foreground interest and creating these layers. Just doing, and not even the whole parents, you know, just using their feet or their legs or parts of their body and leading into the kids. Just doing different things that I was learning while shooting with other photographers in India in that street photography situation. And like I said, I've been on photography trips before, but I've never come back and actually felt that I was shooting differently. I've come back motivated and excited to shoot, but this is the first time I've come back and actually seen a difference in my approach and the shots as a result. So I've been thinking about that, and I think the main reason is not for the fact that I was away shooting for fun for 2 weeks, which was awesome. I think it has to do with being surrounded by other creatives, other motivated, excited to be there photographers who are all pushing each other to produce work as good as we can produce. I was going to say great work, but it feels weird saying that. We're just all pushing each other. And what I found was invaluable was after every little session, we would pass each other's cameras around, you know, while we're having lunch or dinner, and look at the back of each other's cameras or through the viewfinders at the shots that we captured. And the critique, these basically became critique sessions, and they were fantastic. It wasn't all positive and blowing smoke up each other's bums. It was constructive, good criticism, pats on the back where it was warranted. But mostly it was, you know, how each photographer could improve, which shots stood out, why they stood out, and that feedback was coming from right around the table. It was just fantastic. So I know for me, I would go in and approach the next session with those thoughts in mind. Even if I wasn't consciously thinking, okay, I've got to do this or do that for every single shot, I found that the feedback was in the back of my mind and I was looking for and seeing things that I hadn't seen before. And yeah, occasionally I'd fall back to my usual go and shoot the street portrait, which I'm comfortable with. But then other times I was, you know, getting outside my comfort zone and creating these layers and going for these street style shots that I hadn't created before. It was so good. So my advice is, if you are struggling at all with motivation, or you feel like you're losing that joy of shooting, you know, my previous advice would be go away and just go and shoot. You know, go to a third world country if you can. That was the advice that I took from David Duschenman from Craft and Vision a few years ago, and I thought it was one of the best things I ever did for my photography. But now I would say, if you can do this with another photographer, or two or three or four or seven other photographers like I had the chance to in India, then do it. Do it, do it, do it. It will change the way you shoot. It will change your outlook. It's so much cheaper. I'm not saying better, so much cheaper than going to an expensive workshop. You get an amazing holiday. You get to make these incredible relationships. I've got seven new friends around the world, seven new amazing friends that are talented photographers that all bring something different to the table because I said yes to this trip. It wasn't something that I organized. I just put my hand up and said, hey, if there's a spot when I got invited, that I'll take it. And it was scary. It was scary going into this trip. And I think I've talked about this in a previous episode. You know, going there to shoot in another country, being the oldest photographer, which was bizarre, the oldest guy there. I don't think I've ever been on a trip and been the oldest anywhere. And then having to shoot with seven other talented photographers. It was scary going into that. But those fears, they were put aside the minute I met these guys and started shooting with them. What an amazing 2 weeks. I am stoked to be back here and shooting. And I really can't wait to see, you know, how my photography changes and develops and how much sort of stays with me from this trip. So, yeah, if you're struggling for motivation, if you're losing that joy of photography because you have made it a business, and that happens, that's normal, then get out and do something for yourself. And if you can do that with other photographers, it doesn't have to be a trip to India. You know, it could be working on a project together. It could be joining a mastermind group and comparing your personal projects together and giving critique and advice to each other or within a group. And that could be with photographers from the other side of the world. You don't have to do something in person, but I think being surrounded by like-minded creatives that are motivated and pushing you to be the best photographer you can be, that's going to help. And I think it's the same with the Facebook group and the premium membership. You know, we all push each other to have a better photography business just by surrounding ourselves with motivated, committed business people and photographers. It can only bring you up. So, and yeah, I'm going to leave it there. If you've got a chance to do something like this, go ahead and do it. It will change the way you shoot and change the way you look at photography. I can't recommend it highly enough.
And now, a macro look at the last episode.
So while I was away in India, I did sort of shortcut the podcast format a little bit to make it easy to get the podcast out. And I didn't share with you the previous episode. So last week, if you missed it, was an interview with Beth Teichman. She is an outsourcing expert. She does editing and SEO work and blogging for other photographers. And in that interview, you will learn all about outsourcing. So if it's something that you're considering or haven't considered and want to know more about, get back and have a listen to that interview with Beth. She is a whiskey drinking classic. I had fun talking to her. I know you're going to love Beth if you get back and have a listen to that one. And if you are a premium member, you'll know that Beth is part of our members Facebook group. But if you've missed a recent post, Beth is coming back to do a Facebook Live session with us in early January. I'll have details to follow. And she's put a poll up inside the Facebook group on topics that you might want her to cover. At the moment, the one leading the way is tips and shortcuts on how to edit your photography to speed things up. I'll have more details about that if you're a premium member. If you can't make the live session, I'll always record those and make those available to you over at photobizx.com inside the blog area or inside the members area. More details about that Facebook live session coming up soon. And the week before the interview with Beth, when I first got to India, was with one of my favorite members, Anita Watkins. She is an absolute inspiration. It's always a dream of mine and a super pleasure to be able to interview a member, a PhotoBizX member, that has created a successful photography business where PhotoBizX has played a role. And that's exactly how I would describe Anita. Like, She is an absolute powerhouse. She's an inspiration. She's motivational and she's motivated. And she has this drive to succeed that a lot of other photographers don't have. So to have her, you know, as a listener for the last 4 years, to see where she's gotten to now is just, yeah, just amazing. And she gave up a full-time job. She's now a full-time photographer. She's making more than what she was making as a full-time teacher. And she's just going from strength to strength. And, yeah, I mean, you can hear from my voice and you'll hear in the interview that I absolutely love Anita and what she's done and created. And, yeah, if you need an injection of motivation and to get an idea of what you can achieve when you put yourself to the test, then get back and have a listen to that interview with Anita. And yeah, I just love having her part of the group, and it was fantastic to have the chance to interview her and have her share, you know, how she's achieved the success that she has. One other quick thing I'm going to mention before we jump into the interview with Emma is, again, for premium members, we had a Facebook Live session earlier this week with Kylie Garner of Creatology, and the topic was the Facebook Pixel, how to install it, how to use it, what to use it for, and why it's so important. That is inside the Facebook group. I've also got a replay of that Facebook Live session inside the blog area over at photobizx.com. You do need to be logged in to access that. And I've also added Kylie into the members Facebook group. If you have any follow-up questions about the Facebook Pixel, the training's about 40-something minutes. It's incredibly helpful. She screen shares. She shows everything on her screen that she's talking about, so you can follow along and do this yourself. If you're not using the Facebook Pixel, you should definitely hear this one or see this video. In addition, just quickly, if you have heard the interview or haven't heard the interview with Julie Christie from Togs in Business and you're a premium member, make sure you get back and check that one out, because she has links to her course. It's a standalone course on understanding the Facebook Pixel. It'll be the perfect counterpart to the Facebook Live session with Kylie Garner. They both work in perfectly well together. And with those two pieces of content, you will have your head totally wrapped around the Facebook Pixel. Yeah, you'll be swamped with ideas of how you can use this to maximize your reach. It's the Pixel, if you're not using it, is an amazing piece of technology that you can use to really hone in who is seeing your ads. And it will totally change the way you think about ads if you're not already doing this.
You're listening to the number one photography business podcast with Andrew Helmich, photobizx.com.
Alrighty, we're going to jump into this interview with Emma Wiley, the copywriter, the creative copywriter, in just a second. If you are hearing this announcement, then you are listening to the free podcast episode, and you're going to get a ton from Emma today in the interview. But I do want you to be aware that I am saving a portion of the interview for premium members only. And the part that I'm saving for members, in my mind, is the best part because it's the part where Emma shares or teaches how to do the copywriting stuff yourself if you can't afford to hire a copywriter. If you want to get access to the full interview with Emma, jump over to photobizx.com/try. And for $1, you can get a 30-day premium membership. You get to hear the full interview with Emma today. You'll get access to the full back catalog. You can access those Facebook Live videos, the training from Julie Christie that I talked about earlier. You get access to the Facebook Members Secret Group, or the Secret Members Facebook Group, and you get instructions on how to join your very own mastermind group with other premium members. I mean, there's so much you get for $1. The whole idea is you get to check out what a membership is like, and I'm trusting that you're going to love what you get and you're going to want to stay on with your membership into the new year. But if you don't like it, if it's not a good fit for you, cancel within 30 days and all you've done is outlaid $1 and got some amazing content from Emma in today's interview plus previous guests. So that's photobizx.com/try to access that trial membership.
Welcome to another Great Eye for Business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
I found and chased down today's guest following an interview with the super talented Nadia Melli. Following a complete rebrand, Nadia's photography business has taken off and she's attracting exactly the kind of clients that she wants. Now, in that interview, Nadia attributed much of her success to her website copy, and that's when I learned the copywriter that she worked with was none other than today's guest, Emma Wiley from the UK. Emma describes herself as a creative copywriter, and basically, she helps clients craft their message while not coming across as just selling stuff. I'm rapt to have her with us now. Emma, welcome.
Thanks. Hi, it's good to be here.
If only the listener knew what we went through to get you on today.
Oh, gosh. I'm so glad that you had me back a second time after I totally missed the first appointment.
Well, we can't leave them in the dark now. Can you just explain where you were when I called last time?
So basically, because of the time difference last time, I was actually still in bed. So somehow magically, I've never done it before, I managed to sleep through two of my alarms, one which turns all the bedroom lights on. So it was quite an achievement, I must say.
And I have to add, you sounded exactly like someone who had just been woken up from a deep sleep.
Oh, man, it was bad.
So obviously you don't have a British accent. Where are you from and what are you doing in the UK?
So I'm originally from Zimbabwe, hence the accent. So I grew up in Zimbabwe. I went to junior school there and high school there. And then I studied in South Africa in Cape Town, which is a beautiful city. If you haven't been before, you should definitely go there on holiday. And then I got married and moved to the UK. And I've been in London now for 5 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. So were you doing copywriting work in South Africa?
No. So I literally was just studying in South Africa. So I didn't actually work in South Africa. So when I finished studying, I moved here and then I started working as a graphic designer. It's been a long path. And realized that that wasn't my love, because I always kind of thought that to be a writer was kind of like something only writers did for some reason. I don't know why I thought that it was something that I could do, even though it was the thing that I loved doing the most. And then luckily I had a boss that basically just said to me one, you know, very kindly, was like, you're not a very good designer, so maybe you should try copy. And thank goodness, because now I've been doing copy for about 4.5 years and it's 100 times better. No offense to the graphic designers out there, but for me, it's 100 times better than graphic design. So yeah.
So were you doing copywriting then for that graphic design company, or was that their little push out the door to say, off you go?
No, they were amazing. So it was Action Advertising Agency here in London, and they were amazing. They just, it was a bit of a quiet season, which doesn't happen all that often. So I was quite lucky. And they just said, if you want to try, just go for it and see what you think. And then we can keep you on as a copywriter if you want, which they did. So I was there for 2 years as a writer, and then now I've been freelance for nearly 3 years now.
Wow, fantastic. Wow, that was super lucky. And you obviously have a talent for it. I mean, for them to recognize it.
Or I just made really great tea in the afternoon for everyone.
maybe. So who's your typical, if you have one, client today?
Oh, that's a good question. So I kind of like split halfway through advertising and small biz. So I have my big advertising clients, which is I'll work with agencies or in-house with a brand. And then I have the small businesses, which are mainly photographers, to be honest. So I've done quite a few wedding photographers. And then there's like a few little like small creative businesses, like helping out a friend and chatting to her about her pajama brand. I've worked with tea brands, beauty brands. It's, yeah, just a wide range of clients.
So when you have a client or clients, do you put all your energy and focus into one client all day until that project's finished, or, you know, all week or for 3 weeks? Or do you do a little bit here and a little bit there for each client that you have on the books?
It depends on the client and the project, obviously. So with the small business clients, there's a lot of backwards and forwards. So there's a lot of brand excavation for me. So they'll answer like a lot of questions, and there's a lot of getting to know them and their brand. And sometimes that can take a few weeks for them. So we'll obviously have time with them in the beginning and then send them away to do all that brand excavation. And then between that, having that first meeting and then them doing all of that, I obviously have a lot of empty space. So I'll put more clients in the middle. So yeah, it depends. But then when all that stuff comes back from the client, then I will book out like the whole day or the whole week or however long it takes for that client. But that's just the best way that it works money-wise for them and for me, because they don't want to pay for me to be sitting around while they do work, basically.
Sure. So what I would really love to do in this interview, if we can, is to dive into what you do for photographers specifically and how you can help them. And I'd love to also then focus on some things that a photographer could do themselves if they didn't want to hire a copywriter or couldn't afford to hire a copywriter? Can we sort of split it up into two parts?
Yeah, that's fine.
Cool. So first of all, who should hire a copywriter?
Everybody.
Surprise, surprise.
No, I promise I'm not just saying that. I think there's a lot of things that a lot of people can do. And because we all can write, basically, I think we all think that we can do our own copy. And sometimes that's just not the case. I think writing about yourself is really difficult. And getting a professional in to help you and just say, this sentence kind of gives the wrong impression, or this is not how it should be structured, or let's try and make it shorter, or have you thought about the client from this perspective, is really helpful. It's just getting an outside voice. And also it's just paying someone who does it as their profession all day, every day. So they really do know what they're talking about. So I would say if you can get a copywriter, then definitely do it. I always tell my clients and prospective clients that copy is just as important as the way your site or your branding looks, because when people are hiring a wedding photographer, they don't just look at one or two photos and they're like, oh, it's amazing, let's hire straight away. You know, it's something that is a considered decision. And I know when I was hiring my wedding photographer, I read like everything on her website. And it was definitely what she sounded like that attracted me to her as a person. And then obviously her photography was amazing. So that was definitely a big bonus. But how you sound is really important to your clients. So if you can hire a copywriter, then don't hold back.
So let's say I'm looking to hire a copywriter to rework my website copy. You know, do I hire a copywriter to just work on my about page, or just my about page and my home page? I mean, or where do I draw the line, or do they do everything?
It's totally up to you. So for some clients, I've done everything. So the landing page, the home page, the welcome booklet, the pricing booklet, any kind of collateral that you have as a brand that has words on it. Newsletters, welcome blog posts, you know, like the first newsletter that goes out that says, oh, we've got a new website, I'll do that. So yeah, it depends on your budget. It depends what you want. The about page is a tricky one because so much of that is who you are. So that's definitely a collaborative page, that one. But everything else, I mean, you can get a whole site right, or you can just get one page. I would encourage people, if you're going to go for getting a copywriter to do your writing, is to do the whole website, because then it all sounds the same rather than one page sounding like it's been written by someone else, if that makes sense. So yeah, basically I know other copywriters have different reasons and different packages, but I would be willing to look at every piece of collateral that you need.
Got it. So, I mean, I mentioned Nadia's website earlier that you worked on. And, you know, when I look at her website, she's got like little boxes and snippets and quotes. So did you do all of those?
Oh, Nadia was an amazing client because she came to me.
I thought you were going to say nightmare.
No, she was wonderful. No, I'm not going to say that about her. She might be listening. She came to me already knowing very much what she wanted, which is very helpful for both the photographer and the copywriter, because then it saves a lot of, do you want this? Do you want that? What do you think of this? Kind of backwards and forwards, which can get frustrating for the photographer when you just want your stuff to be done, you know? So she came with a rough idea of these things that she wanted, the little boxes. Like, I think she's got that thing that says beauty is the dust shaker, the soul healer, that thing that changes at the top of her website. And then I wrote a bunch of options for that. And then she chose her favorite ones out of that. So it was quite a collaboration with Nadia. We spoke quite a lot on the phone and on Skype. But yeah, I did all of those little bits as well, with obviously with her input. And she also included, she wrote for me a list of words that she wanted to use, which was very helpful because then that was very much her. And I was just crafting it so that it worked, if that makes sense.
So she came to you with like just a printout of words that meant something to her?
Yes. So in my brand excavation, so I'll ask clients to write for me a list of words that they think describe them and words that they want to use on their website, and then words that they don't want to use. So like, for example, Nadia didn't want to use things like capture the moment or anything that was too cliche photography, you know. So I'll ask them to do that, and then I'll ask them, like photographers are creative people, so they might have like lyrics that mean something to them, or pieces of literature or art or poetry or anything like that. So I'll ask them to share any of that kind of stuff. I basically just say, here's a document with a few questions, and just sit down and write, and don't edit what you're writing. Just write what comes from your head and your heart, and then we'll go through it from there. That kind of finds the most genuine, authentic version of the person that hasn't been edited down too much. And then you take the little golden nuggets out of that, and that's how you get basically what Nadia's page looks like.
Okay, got it. So sticking with Nadia's page, and you talked about that masthead image there with a text that's changing. It says, for the listener, you know, beauty is the soul maker. Beauty is a love letter, the spark lighter, the soul healer, the dust shaker. So all these little things, are they words that she included in that initial digging in, or are these things that you've come up with?
Some of those she included, some of those I came up with. So Nadia was very specific that she wanted to focus on how people were her passion and not photography, and how important beauty is to her and how important it is to find that beauty in the world. So that's what we led with, because that was what she just was so passionate about and was so on her heart. So I just wrote in the beginning, kind of like a little manifesto before I knew her very well. And then she used that alongside her brand Excavation and took out bits from the manifesto that she liked. And then really collaboratively together, we came up with those little bits. And I think there's something at the bottom of the page as well about hugging strangers and that kind of stuff. So we did all that, like taking bits from her blog posts and from things she'd said to me on the phone and from the words that she'd included in her list and lyrics that she loved and that kind of stuff, yeah.
Oh, it's just beautiful. Okay, so listening to you talk about Nadia and what she came to you with and how involved she was, like right from the beginning, I mean, I can hear that she is the perfect client, or she was the perfect client for you. So when you have a new photographer come to you that's not like Nadia, what do they need to know before they come and talk to a copywriter or talk to you to make life easy for both of you?
I think in general, just in life, any creative needs to know who they are. You need to know like what your passion is in your business and outside of your business, because when you are the business, so much of that intertwines and flows from one to the other. So when you come to a copywriter, it's really helpful to know, number one, who your ideal client is, because ultimately that's who we're talking to, and who you want to sound like. And the more authentic that is to you, the better, because there's nothing worse than people can pick up straight away if you faking that someone who loves big weddings when actually you just want to shoot small weddings kind of thing. So it's just like the brand Excavation helps with that. And that's why it sometimes takes a couple of weeks, because sometimes a client will come to me and not have thought about all those things. And then suddenly they're faced with these questions that need to be answered. Like, think about your ideal client and think about your perfect day of work and tell me like what your dream wedding to shoot is and that kind of stuff. It takes quite a lot of thinking to build that idea. But having a rough idea of that before you come to the copywriter is really helpful and saves a lot of time, because sometimes it can just be, obviously, I don't know you personally. I will get to know you during the process. And the words on your website are very personal to who you are. So sometimes it can be, I'll write something, and to you, that will just be something that you would never say. And we could go backwards and forwards on that for quite a while. Whereas if you put a lot of effort into the brand Excavation and you already come knowing what you want and roughly who you want to sound like, which should be yourself, that saves a lot of time, basically.
So that's all done with this brand Excavation. So I'm guessing, is that a document that you send out to your clients?
Yeah, so it's not a very long document and the questions are quite open-ended, but I do just encourage people to just write as much as they can in the questions and just let the words come out. Some people struggle with that, and then the alternative is I'll Skype them and just tell them to talk to me about their business and I'll just write as they talk. So sometimes people will send me back the brand Excavation and only have done one or two sentences, and then I'll have to be a bit like a bit of a teacher and send it back and say, can you actually put a little bit more information in here?
So do you ever get the case where your client is trying to attract a different kind of client to who they are themselves. So their language doesn't really fit in with who they're trying to attract. Does that work, or can you do that?
You can do that. I think we all trying to attract, like, part of it is aspirational. Obviously, you want to always to be improving your work, and that means attracting the better clients or your dream clients. Mostly that's done through the homepage copy and the packages copy and the welcome booklet. But on the about page, it's very important that you come across as genuine to who you are, because there's such a level of trust with wedding photographers. The client really needs to trust you when you're there on their day, because you're really intimately involved in all the intimate moments of the day, pretty much. So we can do that on the homepage and the other pages. And then the about page is very much like being true and authentic to who you are. Because sometimes I get clients come and say, oh, I'm this person, but I want to sound like this photographer, like how she said is exactly how I want to say it. And I always go back to them and say, but your client's not hiring her, she's hiring you. And you need to think about what about you is what attracts your dream client, if that makes sense.
It does.
And then you play that up. I mean, you don't exaggerate it, but we like focus on that. And then hopefully you'll attract a client that gels with you. And then that's a dream pairing, because also you might in your head think, oh, this is the ideal client that I want to attract. And then you work with one of those clients and you realize actually, because they're so different to me, this day was a nightmare and that's not who I want to work with again. So it's really important that it's like, it is true to who you are, because then you'll attract the clients that gel well with you and then everything is wonderful.
Yeah.
In theory.
In theory. Well, okay, so one thing that I struggle with, and I know other photographers do too, let's say in my case, so I can use me an example. So when I'm talking to my friends, I might say something like, I'm going to go cycling this weekend with my mates. And I'm using the word gonna instead of going to. If I got to use that in my copy, my wife, Linda, she would freak out. You can't write gonna, it's going to. But I would never say going to.
That's true. So is your question like, what do you do in that situation?
Yeah. What do I put on my website? What copy do I use in my blog posts and even my social media posts? Do I use that vernacular?
So I would say social media is the perfect place for that kind of vernacular, because it's kind of personal interaction with other people. I think social media is much more a conversation between you and me, for example, than your website is. On your website, I would say probably use going to, because you just...
You know, I can't let Linda hear this now.
Sorry, Linda. So let me explain it like this. Your website is just a little bit more polished, because that's like you in like a suit going to a business meeting kind of thing. You know, it's still you, but it's a little bit more like professional. Whereas your blog posts and your social, I think, is the perfect place for using, as long as it's not like the spelling is completely off and it's a completely unrecognizable slang term that people will be like, this guy's speaking three different languages at once. Then I think it's like, I'm going to go cycling is totally fine, because that's how you talk. And then when you meet a client and you say something like that, they're not surprised. Whereas if you're very formal in your social and very formal on your website, and then they meet you and you say, oh, I'm going to go cycling next weekend with some mates, they might be like, whoa, this guy is not who he is on his website, you know? I mean, that's a silly example, but that's an example of how it works.
No, I get what you're saying. Yeah, absolutely, I get that. So what are your thoughts then on using like swear words or, you know, colourful language? Because I know I'm seeing more and more photographers doing it.
Yeah, no, me too. I think, to be honest, it's totally up to you. If you think that's the kind of clients that you are going to attract and then they'll find that attractive, then by all means, go for it. It's just, if that's the kind of person you are, then I don't see why you wouldn't use it on your website. I mean, I personally am not the kind of person that uses that kind of language, so I wouldn't use it on my website.
I actually felt like you're looking down at me as I was asking that question.
I'm not. My computer is actually above me, so I'm looking up, if that makes you feel better. I wouldn't use that kind of language, and I probably, because I don't use that language, not that I wouldn't book a photographer, but I might not spend as much time on their website just because that's not like how I talk. But if there's loads of people in the world that do talk like that, and if those are your clients, then they're going to be attracted to that, you know? So it's also about knowing who your clients are. I think I don't mind it when it's genuine. I think sometimes it can come across as quite forceful and like I'm trying to be really badass and cool, and I don't really believe in this side of myself. And that I don't think works. If it's completely natural and how you talk every day and that's who you are in real life, then by all means, go for it. Blow your lights out.
I mean, it sounds like that what we're really looking for is authenticity throughout.
Exactly, yeah. Another helpful thing to do is to read out loud what you've written. And if it doesn't sound like, if you find yourself pulling a funny face or you're like, oh gosh, I sound like too pompous or this doesn't sound like me, then change it because that's not you. And if your husband or wife or partner or friends read it and say the same thing, then that's a good measure of this is not authentic to who I am, and change that up because that's not going to help you.
Got it. We talked about, or you know, you talked about your brand excavation document, and I get the impression that, you know, most of the work that a copywriter does or you do for photographers, say, is start from scratch and build from nothing and go design the whole lot. Are there other options available, or is it all or nothing?
To be honest, it depends on your copywriter. I have other options available. So the start from scratch and build from the bottom up is quite a long process. And I think people come expecting it to be done in 3 days. And that's just not how it works, unfortunately. Well, you need to put that work in to get a good result. So not unfortunately. But that is a lot of backwards and forwards with the client, because it's really important, like you said, it's all about authenticity. So it's really important that it does finish sounding like them, which doesn't happen the first, I would say, two rounds of copy that gets written, because I am not them. And as much as I can get to know them, and as brilliant as their brand excavation could be, there'll always be those subtle, like, for example, if I was writing for you, I probably never would have known that you would say gonna instead of going to. And it's just those little things. The alternative is, which works quite well, that I offer for small businesses, is a copy audit, which is where the client actually writes the copy and then sends it to me as a starting point. And then I do the proofing and the editing, and then I'll talk with them through like sentences that I don't think quite work or words that I don't think fit properly. And I'll ask them, why are you saying this like this? And maybe we should think about saying it like this. And this is what I think this client's going to attract, and just like almost like a consultant role. And then if it needs to, then I'll write extra copy that needs to go in with that, or I'll write new suggestions and I'll say, like, I like how you've done this, but maybe we can think about doing it like this, and write a new suggestion for that. And that works quite well because, well, number one, it's a bit quicker. And number two, it starts with something that the photographer or the small business owner has already written. So it's already starting on a bedrock of their words. So we're going to get to sounding like them a lot quicker. And people find that really intimidating. I think the whole like sitting down and writing about yourself and putting all your words out. And I just always say to them, don't find it intimidating. Just go and do it and get it done. Don't overthink it. Just write and send it to me, and then we'll go from there. And it always had really good results with the copy audits. So that's also a good option.
I didn't even know that was an option. So really what I could do, if I wanted to hire you to help me, I could just send you my website as it is right now and say, Emma, this isn't converting, or it doesn't sound right. Can we polish it?
Exactly. And then I would go through it and say, well, this is why I think, or this is what I think you could change, or have you thought about this, or shall we rearrange things like that? So sometimes I can send back like a huge document to people. Sometimes it's not very much because they've already got a really good place that they've started from. But it's kind of like having another business partner without them having any partnership in your business, but with the copy skills to focus in on honing in on your words. And often I find people write too, like, I don't have a problem with writing too much in the pre-website process. I think that's really important. But when it's on your website, it should be as short as possible. And there's often places where I can be like, well, I think you're saying the same thing twice here, so let's just cut that out, or let's say it differently like this. And then that makes the website shorter and more concise and easier to look at on mobile. And it's just little things like that. Also things like, it doesn't really make sense how you go from this page to that page. Can we think about another way of doing the navigation? Stuff like that is really helpful as well.
Got it. Okay. So does it make it easier for you if you can see the photography that accompanies the copy? Or does that not even matter?
Yes.
Oh, it does
no,
help.
That's very important, because you can see so much about someone in their artwork that they produce. And you can see like whether they like the soft romantic light or the more harsh oversaturated light, or if they're more into black and white and all that kind of stuff. It's really important for me to be able to see the art that the photographer is producing, to be able to know also the kind of clients that they want to attract as well, because there's such different spectrums across the photography industry. There's like the film photographers and the digital photographers, and obviously you're all photographers, so you know a lot more about this than I do. But I'm sure you know what I mean when I say there's very different styles. So just like that, there'll be very different words. So it's important to be able to match the words. I don't want to write something flowy and romantic for a photographer that only does like industrial weddings and black and white kind of thing. So yeah, it's important to see your photography.
Well, that raises an interesting point. So can you write for male photographers that maybe shoot black and white, grungy, urban type photography? Like, is that going to work?
Oh, I'm sure I could. I've not actually had a client like that before. So if you are that person, I'll take on the challenge.
So what do you do in your headspace? Do you just put yourself like into their shoes or try and be that person's client?
Yeah,
or?
Pretty much. It's interesting because I'm a bit of a bookworm, and I always tell people I have to be very careful what I'm reading, because sometimes if I spend too much reading a certain kind of author, certain genre, I'll start sounding like that when I write.
Yeah.
So it's helpful. Isn't always the case, but it's helpful sometimes when a photographer already has quite a few blog posts or examples of things, like if I can listen to them on a podcast or watch them on a video or speak to them on Skype or that kind of stuff, because then I can read into their voice. But I've done it before where they haven't had any of that collateral. It just takes a little bit longer. So it's just about having the right expectations. And if you come to me with no collateral, like blog posts or photography, I did a client once that didn't even have much photography, and that took quite a long time. Then you need to understand that it is going to take a bit longer. We will get there, but it's a little bit more collaborative work than if you come with 50 blog posts and 3 podcasts and 60 albums of photos kind of thing.
Yeah, got it. Just back to Nadia's website, just quickly before we move on to photographers, say, doing some copywriting for themselves. We talked about all the little things that she's got happening, you know, in the header, in the footer, the little boxes. So did she have that already sort of laid out for you to look at to come up with what you needed to come up with? Or did she say, I just need, you know, 20 little lines to use?
Well, Nadia is amazing. She's an amazing writer herself, so that helped. And she's amazing at knowing exactly, like, there were a lot of times where she just said, that one word, it's just not working for me. And then we had to sit and think for a while about another one more word that could go somewhere. So in the beginning, she didn't have that because her site was, I kind of worked alongside her web designer at the same time. But then on the last round, she had her website all built. So we looked at the copy in situ, which I think is so important because some of it was way too long. And we looked at it on Skype. We unfortunately were in different cities that day. And we read through it together on Skype. And she changed things as we were talking about it. And I would type things out and send them to her on Skype. And then she would copy and paste them. And so when I say this was a very collaborative job, it was really very collaborative. Some photographers are not happy with that level of collaboration, which is fine. I don't mind that at all. I can do both ends of when I say both ends of the spectrum, you have to be involved a little bit, but it's just up to how comfortable you are with it. But yes, so the last round of Nadia's copy, everything was in the website and she could say, this is where I want this line to go. Can we come up with a few more? Like, for example, at the bottom where it says, today, why don't you, came up with pretty much all the lines for that little bit at the bottom there. And she said, I want to include this somewhere. Do you think it should go on the About Me page or the home page? And then we just discussed that kind of stuff where we thought it would flow best. So, yeah, this was very much built around her design as well.
Wow. Yeah, you guys have done an amazing job.
Thank you.
You really have. It's beautiful. It all ties in so nicely together. Well, first of all, how much does it cost to hire a copywriter? Because we haven't really discussed that. You know, maybe that is the best option for everyone rather than even trying to do this on your own.
Every copywriter will have different packages. So my only thing that has a set price is the audit. But then for a site right, which is the whole thing, is very specific to what your project is, because I don't want to charge you for 5 pages and you only want 2 kind of thing. It's not like, don't expect to go to a copywriter and pay $200 or £200 for all your work to be done. I always tell people it'll cost you as much as your branding costs, because it's just as important. So it's good to think in those kind of terms, because a lot of people can write. Everyone thinks that it should just not cost anything. That's not.
Hey, that's the same as photography.
Exactly, because everyone has a camera phone, doesn't mean they can get a photo. And that's a great way of thinking about it. So, yeah, it can range from £800, £900, I'm not sure what that is in dollars, to £2,500, depending on the size of the project, and also depending on the rounds of amends you want. So my projects always come with 3 rounds standard, so we'll always have 3 free rounds of changes. And I find that that's quite an important guideline, because it's good to have that cut off and be like, I have to have found everything that I want to change by round 2, because then on round 3, we're going to do the tweaks and the changes. And to be honest, we never go over 3 rounds because we don't really need to, but it's just helpful to have that guidance. But if you did want to go over, then that would cost a little bit more. So it depends on the package, on the client, on all the collateral that they want done, if they want social media involved. It just all builds your package, but I would do a personalized quote for each person.
Got it. Okay. So with the copy audit that you mentioned, would that be like me giving you my website to look at and rework or adjust as you see fit?
Yes. Or if you're getting a new website done, you would send me the Word doc with your copy in, and then I would look at it like that. I mean, yeah, that's pretty much how it works. I'm a massive fan of being as personalized to the client as I can. I don't want to give you everyone. Not everyone has the same needs, you know, so I'm not going to give everyone a cookie cutter quote, but yes, that's pretty much how the audit works.
Got it.
Premium members of PhotoBiz Exposed hear more of the best photography business strategies from every guest.
This has been so good, Emma. I've enjoyed every minute of this, and I've learnt a lot as well.
Oh, I hope so.
I love what you guys do. It's incredible. And yeah, you guys have a real talent. It's been a real pleasure. I'm so glad we eventually got to do this. Before I let you go, where is the best place for the listener to check out your work, get in touch with you, find out more about what you do?
So the best place at the moment is my website, which is emmajwiley.moonfruit.com. But it is about to undergo a bit of refurbishment, so it might look a little bit different soon. And then also on Instagram is a good place to see what I'm doing and talk to me and connect with me. And that's at MEMMJOYW on Instagram.
Fantastic. I'm looking at your account right now. It's beautiful. And I love the copy that you add too. I'll add links to both those in the show notes so it's easy for listeners to connect. Again, thanks so much, Emma. This has been a real pleasure.
Thank you, and I've enjoyed it as well.
I hope you enjoyed that interview as much as I did. Emma, if you're listening, again, thank you so much for coming on and sharing so much about you and your business and copywriting. I had a fantastic time chatting to you, and I realize how important copywriting is. But yeah, you've just opened up some fantastic ideas for me and my business, and I expect you'll see some changes on my site if you come back and visit soon, and I'm sure it's going to be the same for the listener. For you, the listener, I hope you did get as much as I did from Emma. If you have a follow-up question, if there's something that I didn't ask that you wish that I did, you can hit Emma up in the comments area of the show notes, and you can find them at photobizx.com/248. The comments section is right at the bottom of the show notes, and above that, you'll find links to anything and everything that Emma mentioned in the interview, including how to contact her if you want Emma's amazing help and talent to be applied to your website copy.
It's shout out time.
Well, we haven't had any shout outs for a long time, and I am super rapt to say that I've got one shout out for today's episode. It goes to Darcia Vu from the USA. She has recently gone pro. She's gone from hobbyist to full time only a few months ago, and she's not looking back or second guessing herself. And she says a major portion of credit goes to this podcast, PhotoBizX, and the interviews that she hears. So, Darcia, from me and every listener, we are wishing you every success. I want to say a massive thanks as well for leaving your 5-star rating and your lovely review inside iTunes. That's a massive help for me. And I know you've already been introduced and active inside the members Facebook group, and we can't wait to see and hear more from you, the goals that you kick and the successes that you have in 2018. We are super excited for you. Now, if you're enjoying the show, the interviews, and you haven't left a review and you'd like to, head over to photobizx.com/iTunes. You can leave an honest rating and a review there. And as a thank you from me, what I'll do is add a link to your website using the keyword phrase or the anchor text that you're trying to rank for. So it's my little way to say thanks for leaving a rating and review in iTunes. I add that link, which will help and boost your SEO from a nice, big, well-ranking site like photobizx.com. So if you do leave one of these reviews, it could be for the PhotoBizX podcast or the Photography Experiment podcast. Make sure you let me know. It does take a week or so for those reviews to show up in iTunes, but let me know that you have left a review, the username that you used for iTunes or for Apple, and the keyword phrase or anchor text you'd like me to link to your website with, and we'd like that URL to point to. And I'd be happy to add that link from PhotoBizX to say thanks.
Want to know more about Andrew? Follow him on Instagram at Andrew_Helmich.
I've got one quick announcement before we close out today's show. A few weeks ago, I mentioned Charlotte Reeves. She is an Aussie-based pet photographer. I've interviewed Charlotte for the podcast in episode 36. It's so long ago. She is an amazing talent, and she has just released part four, or the fourth episode, in her Real Shoots pet photography training. And it's awesome. So I really can't talk highly enough about these videos. One of the things I struggled with when I was learning was seeing how another photographer works. I used to go to workshops, and you got a little bit of an idea on how successful photographers were shooting. Other than that, it was a little bit of assisting, but those sort of jobs are pretty tough to get when I was starting, because everyone wanted to keep what they did close to their chest. They didn't want to share it with a photographer that was up and coming and who they knew wanted to go into business for themselves. So, you know, when I saw these videos that Charlotte's put together, I just can't speak highly enough of them, because I think it's so invaluable to be able to see another photographer at a real shoot, see them looking at the light, why they picked the location they picked, why they picked the angle they have, chosen the lens and the shutter speed and the aperture they have, and have them talk you through what they're doing as they're doing it for a real shoot. So it's not like a model with well-behaved dogs. This is real life. It's a real client, and she treats the shoot as such. It's like sitting on her shoulder and also getting access to her mind while she's going through the shoot. So, yeah, I think if you're a pet photographer and you are looking to improve your shooting, then you would be hard-pressed to find any better training than these videos put out by Charlotte. I've got links to them in the show notes, but if you go to photobizx.com/pet photography, that'll take you to the videos, and there are four different sessions at the moment. I'm sure that Charlotte will be adding more as well, and you can buy these individually or as a complete package. But the latest one is with a couple of German shepherds, and it's a cool location out in a forest with a dirt road, and it's great. It really is good. photobizx.com/pet photography. If you're a premium member, make sure you let me know if you grab one or all of the courses, because I can offer you a little bit of a rebate. Alrighty, that is it for this episode of the podcast. I'll be back next week with another interview. I hope you have an awesome week. If you've got any comments, use the show notes for today's episode. It's photobizx.com/248. You can always reach me on email. It's andrew@photobizx.com. And if you are a premium member, I will talk to you inside the members Facebook group, the secret members Facebook group. All right, have an awesome week, and I will chat to you soon. Bye for now.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.